Hey guys, and welcome to episode 150 of the OCDstories.com podcast. Now, in this episode, I interviewed Jessica Eberly. Now, some of you may know her from her good work over at littlestlady.com, where she details her mental health journey and shows that there is life after abuse. And I wanted to get her on to share the work she's been doing. I think it's really good. And abuse isn't necessarily an area I've touched greatly on in this podcast. So I think it was good to get her on for that reason. So in it, we talk about her OCD story. We talk about the abuse. And we talk about therapy. So, you know, working through those two things. Talk about her biggest epiphany within her recovery journey. We talk about her work on littlestlady.com and what you will find if you visit there. She shares words of hope for those who have experienced abuse, and then sort of general words around OCD and the usual questions you guys are familiar with. But before we get into the episode, as it's 150, episode 150, I just wanted to take a moment to pause, celebrate it with you guys on air, so to speak, and just thank you for tuning in each week, for subscribing, for leaving a review, etc., because, you know, it means a lot to get that feedback, and it helps me reach more people. So yeah, I greatly appreciate you guys for staying on this journey with me, even if you popped in and out. I built it so it was there if you needed it, so I'm grateful for when you've used it. It means a lot. So yeah, thank you, and here's to the next 50. I'm sure I'll be able to do that, hopefully. But here's a few reviews that came in within the last sort of week. I just wanted to read out as it's episode 150. So the first one is from someone in America. And they say, thank you so much, Stuart, for putting this show together. Some weeks when OCD is really giving me a hard time, it feels like my lifeline. Keep up the amazing work. Here's one from the UK, which is Stuart Unpacks OCD and What You Can Do About It. He's thoughtful, thorough, and inventive. The show is spectacular. And then one more from Sweden, which is the most comforting and relaxed discussions on OCD. So, I mean, those words, thank you guys, and for everyone else that left a review, those words mean a lot. And I never thought I would ever be reading something like that 150 episodes in when I started it, because all I wanted to do was interview cool people and share those words with anyone who would listen, which I thought was going to be like 50 people. So it's more than that. So thank you guys. And without further ado, here is my interview with Jessica. On the podcast today, I have Jessica Eberly. Jessica is the creator of littlestlady.com, and she's kindly agreed to share her OCD and mental health story with us. Welcome to the show, Jessica.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. And as you know, before we get started, I always ask, you know, what is someone's OCD story? So it'd be good if you go into as little or as much detail as you want.
Yeah, my OCD started after childhood trauma. I had quite a bit of abuse growing up, and it finally resulted in me having OCD after two assaults, which triggered it. My OCD was around checking rituals, so I was obsessed with checking the tap and plugs and things setting on fire and being broken into, and it was all relating to causing harm to another person and sort of being blamed and punished for it, which was sort of quite closely linked to my abuse.
Okay, yeah, and I guess, yeah, how are you sort of doing now with it all?
Next year I'll be 4 years OCD free, so I haven't completed any checking rituals or anything since then, which is, yeah, I didn't even realize until a few weeks ago, and I noticed, nearly 4 years.
Well, yeah, that's awesome to hear. And at what point did you kind of find out that it was sort of OCD?
I think I was just quite rapidly spiraling. It started not you know, sort of manageable at first, and that lasted quite a few months. And then it was when it really started to spiral that I decided to do something about it. And that's when I sort of found out that it was OCD and started exploring what I could do to try and help.
Yeah. Okay, excellent. And when you kind of figured out that it was potentially OCD, kind of what were your kind of steps to start to overcome it?
I was sort of in and out of different therapies because of my abuse. I was in a little bit of a mess after my assaults, and those are what really triggered everything off for me. So I think there was a lot of labels being put on me, and I was going into different therapies and doing sort of talking counseling. And I was sort of in that in between age of like doing like, I don't know what they call it now in the UK, but it was like a young person's counseling that you get up to the age of 18 or something, just the really basic talking ones.
Okay.
So yeah, I tried a bit of all sorts, and then it was the CBT that really helped me in the end, and that's got me to where I am now.
Okay, brilliant. It was good to hear that it helped. And was that on the NHS, the CBT, or was it privately?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Okay, cool. And you're of course in New Zealand now.
Yeah.
From the UK originally.
Yeah.
And with the trauma side of things, was that kind of being dealt with alongside the OCD, or is that something you've dealt with later on?
I think that CBT sort of just put everything into perspective for me, because I was dealing with a lot of sort of court cases and the legal side of my abuse during that time. And I think that CBT sort of helped with that. And even though I really went into the CBT for my OCD, we found that I also had quite severe PTSD as well.
Yeah.
And we actually found that that sort of was taken away with everything else. Yeah, the CBT was a very productive sort of thing for me, but it definitely helped with all the abuse and, yeah, working that out, because I had such a good therapist. I was very lucky.
Yeah, no, it sounds it, and that was, I mean, I'm really glad it worked. Yeah, and worked across all the trauma, PTSD and OCD. Okay, no, thanks for sharing that. And how did you, random question, but how did you find it when you moved to New Zealand? Like, was it, did the big change kind of stir up anything?
No, and that sort of was something that was pointed out to me. You know, I learned that it wasn't getting rid of the OCD, it was just managing it. And I was sort of told any big events would, you know, maybe start it again. And I had to sort of really remember what I'd been taught. So if anything was to happen, that I could, you know, follow those steps and do it all again by myself. But just nothing happened. And even my main abuser died in 2016, I think it was, and even that didn't set anything off.
Okay.
I think it's just because I was always taught sort of don't start it. You know, if you have those feelings of, you know, I know I've checked the door, but maybe I should just check it again. It's like not starting that, because that's when it starts to spiral. You have to sort of just trust yourself constantly. So yeah, just nothing's ever come back, but I'm very sort of, you know, accepting that it could one day, you know, something really might happen, but yeah, it just hasn't.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's really good to hear that it hasn't. And also that you are, you know, you're fully on it. If it does come back, you're ready to kind of remember what you've been taught and put it back into practice.
Because I wrote everything down.
Oh,
yeah,
excellent.
I wrote everything down in my therapy, so it's all sort of there on hand if I do need it. And with my blog, learning about OCD more and more, so I feel I'm quite prepared if it does come back, but it just hasn't.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I've had someone else on the podcast share that when she took so many notes during therapy and then journaled after as well, and has kept them all. So whenever she needs a refresher, she just goes to this big binder she's created, and she can just, you know, remind herself what she needs to do.
No, I couldn't speak any more highly of CBT and sort of all the things that it taught me, even about like general life stuff. It's just,
cool. No, that's amazing. Okay, and I always ask this question around sort of general lifestyle changes, because alongside therapy, sometimes people make other changes that also kind of help. Was there anything like that? So it could be like exercise, nutrition, sleep, meditation.
Yeah, not really. I've sort of always done a bit of mindfulness anyway. I know that I was doing those coloring, adult coloring, sort of around that time, just as like a bit of a chill out thing. But yeah, no major lifestyle changes.
Cool. No, it's good to hear. Sounds like you already had a good kind of framework that was helping anyway. Okay, so you said like it doesn't OCD doesn't bother you now. Does any of the other aspects kind of flare up at all or bother you?
No. No. Not really. Yeah, I've talked about this like a lot because I feel like I should have something, but I just, I just don't. And I think just being grateful for still being here because of my abuse has just got me really far.
Yeah, no, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
okay, so I always ask the guests kind of what was their biggest epiphany in recovery, and this can be not just from OCD, it can be any aspect. But was there a moment in your recovery where kind of a light bulb just went on and you saw things differently, or yeah?
I think before, I'd say before I sort of went into CBT and when that sort of it clicked that, because what I talk about in my blog quite a lot is that cycle of abuse, and I noticed that it was just pure and unhappiness, and bitterness and stuff that, what happened to me. So I think it was just that that light switch was flicked on in that moment for me where I realized I had to do something about the situation that I was in, and how unhappy I was with the OCD, and just everything was spiraling. And I think that's when I realized that, this big cycle of abuse that I was in my family, and everyone was really unhappy. And I think it was that sort of click that I had to make a change and do something different. And then that's sort of when all the determination kicked in for me, just before I went into CBT.
Yeah, no, that sounds good. Like that kind of something needs to change, kind of
Yeah, noticing
mentality.
everyone around me was so unhappy and arguing with everyone, and it was just that, just being in that bubble of just negativity and just awful. So I just, that was sort of the moment that I knew that I had to, make a change and do something differently.
Okay. No, and was that at that moment, that crucial moment, was that you then kind of reached out to try your first therapy?
Yeah, I sort of knew I wanted to productively do something, and then that was sort of where the CBT came in, because I'd talked and gone through, what had happened to me. I wouldn't like to say how many times, and it just wasn't, it wasn't getting anywhere. So yeah, having that productive like action plan, and I was sort of ready for it, really, yeah, changed everything.
Yeah, no, good to hear. And kind of similar question, but was there a big roadblock or any roadblock at point in your recovery? And if so, how did you overcome it?
Yeah, I think with the just general, like I had to sort of to minimize slowly what I was checking was hard, because I had to, if I had a thing about the door before I went to bed to make sure it was locked. And sometimes I couldn't, just leave it. I'd be told, or I was allowed to check it once and then I had to go to bed, or finally, it got to that point where I wasn't allowed to check it, and I wasn't allowed to go near the door, and I just had to go to bed. And sort of that, yeah, I had a few roadblocks with that, and different scenarios for different things to check ahead. But yeah, slowly, once I just trusted myself and learned about why I didn't trust myself, all those things sort of, yeah, slowly went.
Okay, good. Okay, so you're the creator of littlestlady.com, popular site, and It'd be good to just tell us, yeah, about it, why you started it, what it's about, etc.
Well, I started it due to learning about my own abuse and just seeing a lot of patterns, not only in my own situation, but in a lot of other people's. And just really wanting to share something different online about abuse. I know when I was younger, with Tumblr, and there's a lot of not nice, there's people offloading about abuse, and there's people, really hurt and writing, about all these things. And I just wanted to do something really different and actually show that just because you've been abused, it doesn't mean, that's your title and something that's going to hover over you forever, and you can live, a completely different life. Like, I never expected to live the life that I do now. So I just try and encourage people to, process what happened and just recover.
Yeah, no, that's really good. And that definitely comes across in your website's content and layout, and I can relate to it. It's definitely what I try to achieve with my website. It's effectively kind of controlling the narrative in, like, as you said, that people are do offload about all kind of mental health things. And for me, it was like that's an important aspect, but for me, I wanted it to be about recovery, about okay, how do we get better? And there's less of that around the web for all things. So yeah, it's good that you're coming from
Because
that.
people,
Yeah, sorry.
people don't expect, sort of, when they go on my website, you could easily scroll through my website and just think it's about, fashion, or I'm just talking
Yeah.
about, my life and stuff until you read it. Because I know, there's been a lot of people sort of shocked about what I do, especially people that I work with and stuff. And I'm just like, well, for too long now, it's that thing of like, if you have been abused, it's sort of, just the title that you're supposed to carry, and but life can be, completely different.
Yeah, good point. As you said, it feels like you're supposed to carry it, and I guess carry it in a sad way. And yeah, very much what I get from your website is, I mean, correct me obviously if I'm wrong, but it's kind of almost like you've had to own it and kind of move on and define what your life is about as opposed to being defined.
I mean, it's all you can do, really. Just own it and make a change and have a different story from abuse.
Yeah, good point. Okay, and you mentioned work there. If you don't mind me asking, how have people kind of reacted to seeing your site and reading some of the content?
Well, I'm a diversional therapist and I work in a retirement village. So I work with sort of, I don't know what age, like 70 to 100 and, something. I had to sort of pre-warn my residents that, I do this, but it's a happy story. We're not talking about, sad things. But with staff and stuff, it's been, I've had people sort of come up to me in tears, like I had absolutely no idea. But I think that was a really good thing for me, that people had no idea. A lot of people wouldn't have put that sort story to me. I'm like, well, that was a really sort of good thing, I think, for me to come out of the magazines. I was like, well.
Absolutely. You're in a position of empowerment, and yeah, that's really good to hear. And also it's going to inspire and liberate those people that read it.
I
Okay.
hope so.
Yeah. And of course you've had a couple magazine covers recently. Was it Woman Magazine and OCD UK?
It's Women's Day over here, which I think is the New Zealand and Australia version of Women's Weekly back home. So it's
Cool.
that sort of magazine. And then OCD UK.
Oh, fantastic.
Very surreal.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I got the OCD UK magazine through my door, and obviously you're directly on it. It's really good to see.
It's still shocking.
Wow. How did the Women's Day article come about?
Someone just contacted me about it and seen my blog, and then I wanted to write about it.
Oh, fantastic. Well, yeah, well deserved. And yeah,
Thank you.
I hope you're enjoying the fame. Okay. And what have you learned throughout blogging and maintaining your website? Is anything really changed for you?
I don't know. I just love the community.
Hmm.
And just, I just love what I do on my blog. I really have to limit myself, and sort of make myself, do other things. But no, I just love every bit about it, but definitely the community and, being able to speak to people like yourself and that seem so far away, but are doing all these like great things. And I'm traveling a bit more, trying to next year and meet some of these people that I've sort of worked with online and done podcasts and, blog posts and stuff with. So it's just, I just love it. I really do.
Yeah, no, I agree. The community is amazing. Yeah, and if you're in the UK, let me know. To have a
I
coffee.
definitely need to come home.
Yeah. Okay, cool. No, thanks for that. And good work on all the work you have been doing with the website. Okay, so are there, I guess, two part question is first part is words of hope for people who have gone through something traumatic.
Oh, just keep going and keep pushing. I always say that it's just that determination, believing that you can, have a different life and overcome the trauma.
Yeah. Okay, great. And similar but with OCD.
The same. I
Yeah.
think determination's got me, so far, just telling myself that I was gonna,
Okay,
that I
cool.
could do it.
Yeah.
And it's that really cliche stuff of just believing in yourself. It's said so much sort of for a reason, because you just have to believe that you can get somewhere.
Yeah, no, I like that. Yeah, we can often look down on cliches, but there's a reason why they stick around for so long.
No,
Mostly.
definitely.
Yeah. Okay, cool. No, thanks for that. And it doesn't necessarily have to be OCD related, but is there, you're kind of in your recovery, was there a favorite resource that you used, whether it was a book, video, etc.?
Just no, I think it was more online and seeing what everybody else was doing more than sort of books and I think online played a big part, for me. And especially when my OCD was at its worst, I didn't really have the concentration to sort of sit and read a book,
Yeah, good point.
which is something we found a lot. But just online in general really helped me, and seeing what everybody else was doing.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And this next question says, what would you tell someone just starting their, I'm going to say, mental health recovery journey?
Just I don't know. Just really stick at it, and even if you have sort of days when you don't think you can keep going with it, just persevere and try and bear with it a bit. And
Yeah.
just that following, just be prepared that it's going to be tough, but it's worth it.
Absolutely. Yeah, really good point. Okay, so you've got a billboard in New Zealand. What do you want written on that billboard to say?
Oh, I don't know.
The toughest question.
It is. Oh, I don't know. What can it say? Just, I think my thing is just you can sort of overcome trauma, and our pasts are just not. Don't know.
No, I like it. I think you can overcome
I can't
trauma.
think of a really good one. Yeah,
It was a
it
very
is. Yeah,
powerful
you can.
statement. Yeah, no, I like it. Don't worry, I've been asked that question before on podcasts, and even though I ask it all the time, I still was silent for about a minute trying to figure it out.
I can think of something like a good, yeah, I think just, yeah, you can, because that's not, you know, it's just not, it's not said, but it's not known that you can.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And did you ever get resistance around that sort of statement? Because I can imagine some people don't believe that or don't want to believe that, that it's possible to overcome it.
I think I've had sort of this conversation with my friend, and I think she sort of said that sort of I'm proof that you can, because especially like people knowing how I am sort of at work, and I'm, you know, whizzing around, and I'm sort of, you know, known as quite happy, and then learning that after, it's sort of proof that, you know, it can. And I think, yeah, I hope my blog sort of shows that as well, that, you know, it's not.
No,
Yeah, but I
yeah.
think especially I was quite interested when my residents at work found out, because it's obviously that generation of just trauma and hiding it, and you know, but they were really yeah, really good about it.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And I mean, that generation 70 to 100, it's the World War II type generation as well.
Yeah, where there was all the PTSD and all the trauma, and yeah,
Yeah.
it was just, but yeah, everyone's been really good about it. I've never really had any bad comments, even though I am sort of always open to, you know, discussion about that sort of thing, because
Yeah,
yeah,
of
it has
course.
been known for a long time that once something like that happens, if you're sort of lucky enough to survive it, then you know, this sort of life's set out for you. But yeah, it just doesn't have to be like that.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I'm glad you haven't got too much stick for it. But yeah, I think people ultimately want something to believe in, and when they see that you're doing well and you know the work you're doing around it kind of empowers them and gives them an example of it's possible.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. Cool. So another tough question is if you
Oh
pick
no.
up if you pick up the phone and call your 20-year-old self, what would you tell her?
Just be strong and keep going. Yeah, because that's what I constantly sort of was telling myself. Just bear with it and keep going. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I like it. And is there anything else that you wish you could have shared that I haven't asked you?
No, not really. No, I can't think of anything.
Cool. No, I mean, well, thank you for coming on today. Like, I really enjoyed it, and I've been following you for a couple years now, so it's really good to speak and yeah, and just give you a platform for all the great work you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
So there you have it. I really hope you enjoyed my chat with Jessica. I certainly did. And yeah, thank you as always. Episode 150. Can't believe it. Thanks a lot for being here. It means a lot. And a quick disclaimer, guys, this podcast is not therapy. It's not a replacement for therapy. Please seek treatment from a trained professional. Until we speak, take care.